Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're going to go back there because Mike Florio has a big interview with Jared Goff later this hour, so we moved him up. Brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, who once in a while back in the day, I would see Mike, once we got to playoff time, he would start tweeting about the Penguins. So it looks like, Mike, you're going to go another year without a single Penguins tweet.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. Part of it, too, though, NBC lost the contract for the NHL games, and I just have hardly watched any hockey at all since then. We used to have highlights during our morning show. We would do playoff hockey highlights and like narrate the highlights. I mean, it's a football show for crying out loud, but that's how much fun it was when hockey was part of the NBC family. But alas, those days are over and they may never happen
and
again.
And you're a true company man, so that's not happening anymore. I respect that. Very yeah. Good.
Mike, the Brandon Ayuk stuff, not going away. What do you make of it right now? This point, there's unfollowing of social media being done by Ayuk, and I think the Steelers are still waiting to see what happens.
There was that report from someone on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, and it prompted Ayuk's agent to say to the guy, you need better sources. The way that the guy phrased his post was incorrect. The notion that Ayuk had requested a trade is not accurate. The notion that the Steelers had been the most aggressive is not accurate. My understanding is there was maybe a phone call weeks ago and the response was, we're not trading the guy, and that was that. Now, I fully expect interested teams to re-engage as the draft approaches, especially with that report out there. I also believe there's a chance that there's been some conversation along the lines of, not that he's asked for a trade, but looking for teams that might be interested in doing something. And I think from the 49ers perspective, it becomes useful because Ayuk's agent finds out what's out there, or more accurately, what's not out there, and it makes it easier to make Ayuk happy on whatever deal they're trying to do. Once Ayuk finds out that people aren't going to make this gigantic financial offer or significant trade offer to try to get him.
What do you think ultimately happens? Does he just get a deal done with the Niners and he's there, Mike, at the end of the day with all this?
I think so, because we've seen that both with Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa. And when you look at what Samuel did a couple of years ago, he made it clear he wanted out. He did ask for a trade. He was done. He wasn't coming back, missed the offseason program, and then finally got his deal. And, you know, teams always worry about the precedent they're going to set by doing a contract when maybe they don't want to do it. But the 49ers did it. And then Bosa held out. And the 49ers gave him a deal. And I think that, you know, the 49ers are eventually going to pay this guy. So why not just fast forward and get it done now so he can be there for the offseason program, get himself ready, so there isn't any step back in 2024. So I think they'll get it done. They should get it done. Sometimes stubbornness gets in the way. And it's a challenge, too, to figure out the right number, because you've got a handful of guys who are at the top of the market. Where does he fit? Some of the deals that are out there, they've got some phony back-end numbers on them. It may be a challenge to come up with the right number, but you know, we've seen how many different franchise tag players get signed already. There's value in getting the deals done so the guy can be a full complete part of the team for the offseason program.
Mike, who is the best receiver who you think is going to get traded between now and draft night, 8 days away?
Ooh. Best receiver who's going to get traded? Yep. I got to be careful how I say this, because then it's going to get posted on X and it's going to be like, oh, Rorio says this guy's getting traded. I'll give you this. I said this yesterday, and I firmly believe it. The Vikings need to either pay Justin Jefferson or trade him to a team who will. I don't know why they haven't gotten it done, because for these contracts, it never gets cheaper if you wait. The Vikings have waited and waited and waited. What's he going to do, ask for less? Devontae Smith does a 3-year, $75 million extension. That's going to make Justin Jefferson want more. Before that, the salary cap goes up to 255.4. That's going to make him want more. He's always going to want more. He's never going to want less. So why not come up with a trade offer for the Commanders at number 2 or the Patriots at number 3 and trade him to a team who will pay him? You know, the problem is the general manager of the Vikings has already said something along the lines of Jefferson is the most valuable or one of the most valuable players, regardless of position, you know, other than quarterback. So forget about what the receiver market is. You start looking at the highest paid non-quarterbacks. Nick Bosa at $34 million a year, and it becomes justified. So I said this last year, if the Vikings don't sign Justin Jefferson before week one of the 2023 season, there's a chance he gets traded as part of an effort for the Vikings to get their first true franchise quarterback since Fran Tarkenton. And until the draft begins and the Vikings don't trade him, I'm gonna be watching that possibility.
What do you think he would fetch in terms, forget about like what a team would have to pay him, what is Justin Jefferson worth in terms of a return for the Vikings?
Well, the Vikings have 2 first-round picks already available. So, yeah, the problem is you're trading not for a spot, you're trading for a player. So if the Vikings decide we got to have Jaden Daniels, and they did a private workout with Jaden Daniels, and it's kind of like, well, why would you do that? Because he's going to the Commanders. Everybody seems to believe that that's where he will end up. But if it's Jaden Daniels for Justin Jefferson plus what? What else do you have to offer? Is it the 11th overall pick? And could the Commanders justify that because, okay, there'll still be a quarterback on the board at 11. We can address our need there because they traded Sam Howell and their only option right now is Marcus Mariota. So I'd like to think, you know, like the Vikings maybe would offer Jefferson and 23, the other first-round pick they acquired a month or so ago, and then the fallback would be Jefferson and number 11. I'd like to think that gets it done, but the Commanders would be acquiring that obligation to give him whatever it is he's looking for, with the understanding the longer you wait, the more expensive it's going to get.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Mike, enjoy that Jared Goff conversation, and we'll talk again next week, okay?
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. 15-minute mark on the fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. All right, so that's interesting. Mike confirmed what I've also heard, that the Steelers made contact with the 49ers, and it pretty much ended there. But if Ayuk is pissed and doesn't want to play for $14 million, maybe something does change over the next few days.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
8 days away from the NFL draft, Donnie's mock of the day coming your way in about 15 minutes. We're about to be joined by Odyssey NFL analyst Brian Baldinger, host of Odyssey's original podcast, The Best Football Show, featuring daily breakdowns of all the most exciting moments across the league. Baldy was on my Odyssey NFL podcast, First and Pod, and we got into the offensive linemen in the draft, and we'll do some of that here with Baldy. You can go to Odyssey and search First and Pod, 1ST ampersand pod, to find it. I had someone tell me today, Chris, that the Steelers think if they drafted Zach Frazier, he would start day one for them, and they wouldn't have to worry about the center position for like 10 years. But I also had that person tell me he doesn't think they're going to take him at 21, or at 20, excuse me.
I mean, I think that what I've heard is they think they love Mims at 20. They still are huge Mims people. And that
Mims people.
They're Mims people over there. And that they think by one way or another, and this part's not as clear, like, do the Steelers think Frazier's going to fall? That seems highly unlikely. That they would be motivated to get him in the second round.
They could move up in the second round, or they could do the thing where they move back in the first round and he ends up being their first pick and not their second.
I mean, what I was told was that they would rather, in a perfect world, their first two picks.
Tackle center.
Probably Mims Frazier specifically. That's what I understand the situation.
We're now joined by one of my all-time favorites, Brian Baldinger. We just talked last week on the First and Pod podcast. Baldy, good to see you again, my man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. I mean, I'm enjoying the discussion right here. I feel like I'm doing this, almost team by team around the league. So it's just good. It's just good kind of rehearsal for what's going to take place next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Baldy, there's like a 99.9% chance Robbie Insmakowski is listening right now. Would you like to say something disparaging about him?
Yeah. I think there's probably a chance that he's trying to listen. He just can't figure out his technology and how to do it.
No, that's par for the course with that guy for sure. Baldy, dream scenario. If you're Andy Weidel, Omar Khan, and Mike Tomlin, and you're in a war room right now talking about the draft 8 days out, and you need an offensive tackle, and you're hoping that this right tackle makes it to you at 20, who is the guy that is the perfect tackle for the Steelers, in your opinion, for that pick?
Well, I think J.C. Latham would probably fit that mode right there. Fuaga could fit that mode. Amarius Mims could fit that mode. I mean, just two right tackles, guys that have just lined up at right tackle. I haven't seen either one of those three guys play in another position, although I'm sure they're capable of.
Is that how you'd rank them, Baldy, in that order, Latham, Fuaga, Mims?
I think so. Fuaga, I feel like, can play. I feel like he could be a Pro Bowl guard. I think he could be a really good tackle. I don't know on the left side if you do that. But, you know, we didn't know that about Broderick Jones last year, and he played right tackle, and he was good. I assume that if the Steelers at 20 went right tackle, that Broderick goes back over to left where they drafted him.
Yep.
Eventually be.
That's the plan.
Dan Connor is their swing guy. And whoever, Amarius, JC, Fuaga, you know, they got their new right tackle.
What makes you like Latham the most?
I just think he's, I think his size, I'm enamored by his size. I've known guys that have worked with him and his work ethic. I know he wants to be good. And then his power. His power is real. And, you know, you can just watch him these last 2 years against anybody in the SEC. And there's, you know, number 65 out there battling him. So I do think that there could be some problem if he was going up against TJ every day, that somebody with that type of quickness or bend can give him problems. But that's why you got to coach these guys up. None of them are finished products.
Baldy, Mims has been my preferred pick since like day one that this show, we started talking about this year's draft. And last year, I'm one for one because last year I pounded the table metaphorically and literally for Broderick Jones. I got what I wanted, even though they played him out of position. You see Mims and you see that he's only got 800 snaps basically at the collegiate level. How much pause would that give you taking him at 20? Despite the physical, you know, the size, the athletic ability, how much does that lack of experience concern you about his future in the NFL?
Well, it concerns me. And if you, you know, I listen to Kirby Smart and, you know, he's obviously very smart. He knows what he's doing. But why only 8 starts? Why does he come out of these games? Why does he rotate? Why? I mean, I understand that that's sort of George's philosophy to get these guys. Broderick did that when he was there. I think he only had, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he only had 16 starts.
Yeah, that's
Georgia.
Right.
So, like, these guys haven't played a lot, but it didn't look like it affected Broderick at all. I thought he would struggle more than he did. He really didn't struggle very much. Amarius is so big that I don't know what kind of struggles he would have. Unless it's just a question of fitting in as a pro and understanding what a pro entails, you know, just the commitment and practice and study and all the stuff you got to do day in, day out. If that's, I don't know if that's any kind of an issue for him. I hope that most of these guys realize that, you know, the NIL days are over. Like, this is a real money now and a real career. But I don't know that part of him. But I wouldn't have, honestly, the way that he plays and the length that he has. Like, I remember DeJuan Jones came out last year in the fourth round of Ohio State. And I actually liked DeJuan Jones when he was there at right tackle. And I thought he was really good at Cleveland. And I liked him from day one. Like, when you guys have a wingspan of, you know, 7'3", 7'4" like these guys do, you saw DeJuan give TJ problems last year.
He did.
Like, you can't get to their body. You know, and so I feel like Demarius.
Well, that's why I was trying to take that kid from NC State, Baldy, and make him into a tackle. I kept saying that. They had a scout at one of his games here in Pittsburgh. I said, let's get him in here on the practice squad, big DJ Burns Jr. Am I nuts?
I've tried to convert basketball players to tackle, man. Like, they don't know how to punch. Like, they don't know how to break an egg. Like, they don't have the violence they need. Like, they just, there's a missing component there. You know, like, I don't know. Like, I just, I could never get them to be aggressive.
How about the centers here? I'd love for you to rank them and take the Duke bias out if you don't mind. I know you will because you're very good about this and objective. Jackson Powers, Johnson, Zach Frazier, and Grant Barton. I had someone tell me today, Baldy, on the Steelers end, they think they could put Frazier in tomorrow and he could be their starter for 10 years. So give me a thought on those three and how you'd rank them.
I believe that. I believe that. In fact, the first time I watched Zach Frazier, I texted a personnel individual in this league that I respect. And I just said, you know, is he a day one starting center? And they're like, yeah, you can start for my team day one. I think he is. You know, this wrestling background is real. Like, these guys, they just understand leverage and movement, how to stay on their feet. I actually think starting with Pittsburgh at 20, I can see a run on centers. You know, I mean, depending on how you want to, like, you know, sort of rank these guys right now, Jackson Powers Johnson, you know, Graham Barton, Zach Frazier. I can see Pittsburgh, Miami, Dallas, San Francisco. I can see a run on centers. Like, I don't know that we've ever seen one in the first round, but I feel like I know for a fact people have Graham Barton as their number one ranked center. You know, just
is that how you see him?
Yeah. How do you view Barton, even though he hasn't played the position since that COVID year when he was a freshman?
Yeah. Well, I think that I don't believe he's going to be an elite left tackle. I think he could be a Pro Bowl guard, but I think he could be a really good center. Like, I like him because I think he can run better than anybody else. I think he pulls and leads better, and I think he gets the second level better than all these other centers. Now, I haven't watched him since, you know, those five games his freshman year. But I feel like that's the position where he's going to be best suited in the NFL.
So if Andy Weidel called Brian Baldinger and there's minutes and seconds ticking off the clock and he said, Baldy, Barton's still there and Latham's still there, who should we go with? What would you say?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd fix my offense. Like, I know Nate Herbig is there and I like Nate and he's a swing guy. I go fix – like, Dan Connor got better, and he keeps getting – everybody knows Dan
Moore
is a great kid. He's a worker. He's just stiff. He's just stiff, and he goes up against elite guys. Like, he struggles. Like, that's real. But I feel like center is the position they need to get fixed. And I don't know that anybody in this league drafts centers better than the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last 60 years.
So, well, we got Kendrick Green wrong. That was a mulligan. But for the most part, you're very right about that, Baldy. Kendrick Green was a miss, though.
Devontae, you just go through the guys. But, I feel like this is the position they have to get fixed. Mason Cole wasn't the answer. They knew that. He gave them everything he had. But I feel like they got to get this position fixed over a – and I don't know that Amarius is a project. I feel like he can play. I don't know how soon he's going to be ready to play. I know the center, you can plug him and play him. Mm-hmm. And you're going to improve right away.
Baldy, I want you to repeat for our audience, because this is a guy that they had in for a visit, and they're going to draft a wide receiver probably on day two. Can you let everybody on our radio side know how much you love Ricky Pearsall from Florida, who was in for a visit and is a Steelers day two target at wide receiver.
Well, I think, first of all, you know, he's an adult. Like, he's not going to be what some of these other receivers have been in Pittsburgh. He's an adult. Like, he's going to get out to practice. He's going to get after it. I don't know if he's Hines Ward adult, but I think he's, like, that type of mentality, okay? I think he's going to practice really hard. I think he's going to compete every day really hard. And he's just as tough as they come. Like, this guy's hands are elite. And then you could play him inside, you could play him outside. Like, I talked to him last week. There's days they couldn't cover him. You know, and I said he's like Puka Nacua, like they couldn't cover Puka last year. He was always open. I feel like he's always open. And so, I don't know. Like, I think day two is when Ricky's number is going to get called. And I don't know. This is a good deep draft in receivers. But I can't see the kid getting out of the second round right now.
Baldy, thanks for coming on the podcast last week. People can go back and listen to that First and Pod, and it's always a great delight to have you on the radio show as well, whether we're discussing draft prospects or what to do at an all-you-can-eat buffet. We've done that with you before. So it's always tremendous, and Robbie and Smikowski bashing as well. So we'll talk again soon, Baldy. Thank you.
Thanks, Baldy.
Let's do it, guys. All right? Countdown's begun, man. Good talking to you, everybody.
You bet. There you go. Odyssey NFL analyst Brian Baldinger. Make sure to follow the Best Football Show with Baldy on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That is interesting. He said center over tackle, Malzi, in that spot. He's a man after Donnie's own heart with that take.
He sounded a little bit like on the fence about it, though, because I think Baldy knows as well as anybody that tackle is a positional value that's just greater than center.
I got the sense that he actually likes Powers Johnson the least of those three centers. Did you get that impression, too?
Well, I just think Frazier is seen as a very high floor and still pretty high-ceiling Mahler, and that's why people love him, like all business. The one thing I didn't get a chance to ask him there was if the Steelers were to, for some reason, go tackle wide receiver, is there somebody he thinks could play center?
So I can answer that for you because he told me.
Pretty quickly.
He likes Van Pran.
He does.
Even though
short arms and undersized in general.
Yep.
See, Baldy has forgotten more than we'll know about O-line play. Doesn't the Kendrick Green experiment...
Of course.
Just scare the crap out of
you. He didn't look like he was built to play NFL center, and he wasn't.
I thought the Steelers had somebody in today who I keep hearing people say on day three, early day three.
Guy.
Yeah, dude. Is it NORZAD? I think is how he says it.
NORAD.
No, that's the radar system, I thought, that tracks Santa every year.
I know. Like, I'm fine with taking a shot on that guy late, but not to be my starting center this year. Like, they got
to
get that fixed,
like
Baldy said.
There'd have to be a bridge guy if you thought the guy could really do it, but maybe needs a year.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It ain't pretty for the Pirates. We'll get into them next hour and discuss this brutal series against the Mets and where it went sideways. All access with Aditi next hour, too, what she's hearing on the draft and wide receivers and everything else. Right now, though, it's Donnie's mock of the day. There's a mock draft every day from now into the draft, and Donnie gives us the best one right here.
And this is a big one. Dane Brugler has officially released his 7-round mock draft. So obviously we can't touch on every single pick, all 260 of them or whatever.
Do you have all the Steelers picks?
Yes, I do.
Let's do those then. Juicy. 7. How many picks do the Steelers have again?
They have first round, second round. They now have
two-thirds.
Yeah, two-thirds, a fourth.
Couple of fifths, right?
Five and six.
Or five
I think.
And six, that's right. Like 170 something, 198.
So they have 7 picks?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see what the Brugs has got up his sleeve here. The man that writes, what's it called? The Beast?
Yes.
The Beast.
It's just
Beast
the biggest,
guy.
Like, scouting guide.
No, it's just the biggest draft primer, like, there is. It's 500 pages. People actually get it and, like, stay up all night reading it.
Do you know someone who's done that? Are you staring back at him right now? Because I have not done that.
That would take me until, like, next year's draft.
Well, Pony would read 500 pages in, like, 20 minutes and be like, all right, guys, I got it all.
I've not read it yet, but it is good. I do recommend it. All right, what do we got, Donnie?
So the Steelers at pick 20, Graham Barton, Seems like that's picking up some steam.
More and
people.
More of that. Yep. Graham Barton.
I can't put my finger on it other than Frazier has played the position all 4 years. I can't put my finger on anything other than that has me leery about Barton. So much of the he's going to be great at this is a projection based on athletic ability, nastiness, and just the fact that he's too small to play tackle. But, that, I mean, people who know more than I do say that he is an damn near a slam dunk, it feels like now, to be a great pro.
I think Zach Frazier, and I don't want to say this because it's going to bring back some – I don't want me to bring his name up now because it's so polarizing, but I think there's a little bit of Kenny Pickett in there with Zach Frazier, where it's highest floor and lowest ceiling.
But safest I don't even know pick how, guy. But I don't even know how low the ceiling is there on him. There were a lot of people outside of this city who thought Kenny Pickett wasn't even close to a second-round pick. People thought he was a third- or fourth-round graded player.
Yeah.
No one's grading Frazier that
That's
low.
That's true. It's like the lowest you see is second round.
And early second round.
All right, so Barton in the first round.
Second round, they go receiver, or I guess Brugler goes receiver. Roman Wilson from Michigan.
Seen his name connected to them a lot, too.
I don't think he came in for a visit, but they did go to the Michigan Pro Day, which is a big deal.
I was going
to
say that was the one. We've seen Pearsall talked about. We've seen even people connect him to Ladd McConkey. He'd be great. Shifty.
Pearsall goes ahead of the Steelers in this case. He was drafted 46th by the Colts.
Roman Wilson's the one who flew to high school in Hawaii, right?
What?
Isn't Roman Wilson the guy who...
Yeah, you're right, Maui.
He flew to his high school every day, though.
He is compared to a Mims, Marvin Mims. From Oklahoma, who's a Denver Bronco. That's not a great... That's Lance Zierlein. I hope he's a little bit better than that if I'm using my second-round pick on him. Yeah, he was just super consistent there.
Very productive. Not the biggest guy in the world.
And they ran
the
ball so much, so you wonder if there's meat on the bone because the stats aren't eye-popping in that offense.
He should fit in an offense that plans to run the ball at this level, too.
Fair. Next.
Third-round pick 84. I would like this one. Blake Fisher, the right tackle from Notre Dame. Seems like people, even though he's not in that first group or maybe even second group of right tackles, he can at least be a solid NFL player. And you would think better than Dan Moore allowing Broderick Jones to move on over to where he's supposed to be. So it would be them addressing some of their biggest needs in the first three picks.
I think in that situation with Fisher, though, we'd start the year
with Dan Moore
with Dan
at
left tackle.
Yeah.
I don't really see too many guys other than I think that are realistically going to be there at 20 if they were to pick a tackle than Latham, where I would feel like the guy steps right in, bumps Jones back to his natural position, and relegates Dan Moore to bench duty. Do you? Mims is definitely not going to be that. If they draft him, I'm going to be sitting here going, I wish they'd just play Amarius Mims.
Yep.
Some of the guys that are projected to go ahead of him, I think they would start right away, but they're going to tell us Dan Moore's a pro. Dan, we know what we're going to get from Dan. We're willing to be patient. Dan sucks, but we know that he sucks, so we just build our offense around
him. God knows I watch way too much Notre Dame football. I think Fisher is solid. I think Alt is a bit overrated, to be honest with you. I think both guys are good. I think if Fisher was their right tackle, he'd be the type of guy who, like, every year we talked about, should they replace him, and he would just play well enough to keep his job for probably 5 or 6 years.
So better or worse than Chooks?
Better.
The only thing I...
Better, but I would say below...
Max Starks? I know Max played left, but everyone tried to replace Max, including the Steelers every year, and they could never find anyone better.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Lance Zierlein write-up, or no, it's Chad Reuter, I think, here. No, Zierlein, yeah. Eventually an average starter in the NFL.
There you go.
Good size, but average every other kind of way.
Next pick?
98, that pick from Philly. Braylon Trice. Edge from Washington.
The other Washington.
They'll need that when they make the Terry McLaurin for Alex Highsmith deal, so that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't really get that pick by Brugler because you still have Herbig in the mix. I guess they're not going to re-sign Marcus Golden. I kind of wish they would. I liked him last year.
He seemed like one of the few examples of a player that they bring in as a veteran, and they must have like dialed in correctly the this is how much you're going to play, this is your role
situation. I don't think I've seen him sign with another team, though, so I guess they could theoretically bring him back. Donnie, just give us rapid fire the rest of the picks and we'll react to them.
119, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., a corner from Louisville. 178, Keaton Oladapo, a safety from Oregon State. 195, McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle from Texas A&M.
I have an opinion on those three, and I can't like pick any of those guys out of a lineup for you. The fact that they would take a corner in the fourth round would just feel like, you might as well throw that pick in the trash. We know corners don't develop here if they're not first-round picks or first-round adjacent like Porter Jr.
Corner late and defensive tackle late, and an edge rusher going before both of those positions, which have way bigger holes in that mock draft. The guy Trice would have to turn into a good player, in my opinion, to justify doing that. You better really like the guy to take him there when you have much bigger needs. All right, Donnie, thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.